It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
From the Labatt Blue Studio, it's time for quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com, the ultimate tailgating experience in Happy Valley. And because we always have to do big announcements, let's do another one. If you are staying at GoPSURV for the Idaho game, here is your chance to be in a commercial. Yeah, get this. Friend of the show, Nick from Harrisburg, and his crew from GK Visual will be filming the ultimate tailgate experience all weekend long. So, Andrew P., you're going to be there.
I look for me in the commercial. Might be in the commercial.
It's your chance to be famous, but if you don't wish to be photographed, your request will be respected.
Just keep it under 40 beers before until after the cameras stop rolling. You'll be fine.
All right. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark 800-519-8467 for the ultimate tailgating experience. All right, guys. It's time to go back to our positional season preview. And we got a great position to talk about right now. We get to talk about the linebackers.
The fat cat. It's the fat cat position.
The fat cat.
That's what
I understand Andy's translation, but he might want to explain it to the loyal fans.
It is seven or eight legitimate, could play at most Big Ten schools deep. It's at least six legitimate most Big Ten schools deep. And I'm including true freshmen. Yes,
but you can't use the word fat when talking about these guys, though.
No. Let's
begin, as always, let's start with our starters. Across the board, what are we looking at?
Yeah, so assuming everyone's in good health, I'll knock on wood for Penn State fans. So Cam Brown and Michael will be outside, and it'll be Jan Johnson in the middle. And honestly, I don't want to morph into Ross Tucker while he's away. If Penn State didn't have Cam Brown and Micah Parsons outside, I think we'd be talking a little bit more about Jan Johnson, but he's just getting lost in the sheer ridiculous athleticism that is to his left and to his right. You're talking about two guys that absolutely should play in the NFL and can play in the NFL at a high level. One's just getting started at a position he's only played for a year. The other one took a little while. Cam Brown took a little while to get started at Penn State. Never got a redshirt year, but now when you look at him, man, Penn State hasn't really had a linebacker quite like him in terms of length. When James Franklin wants to talk about length, he's the first guy off the bus. He's the longest linebacker.
His wingspan,
I think, I've seen. He can affect the game in a number of different ways. He's a weapon on special teams if they want him to be. He shows up against the pass. He made the big interception, or he caused the big interception in the Iowa game. I think Nick Scott got it. That kind of turned the game for Penn State. He had 6.5 tackles for loss. He had some forced fumbles. I just think when you talk about disruptive players on the Penn State defense, he's probably in the top three.
And real quick, he's listed at 6'5".
Yeah.
That's pretty long.
He's every bit at 6'5". Every bit.
And the assumption is that because he did it last year in a new position he was learning for the first year, that Micah's going to be the bell cow for this team in terms of tackles and production. And I'm not so sure that I don't think that it might be – that guy might be Cam Brown. Because the light's on – fully engaged and fully understands it. I mean, when you're looking at the three starters, you're looking at three of the top four tacklers on the team last year that returning. But in terms of like the little things that the impact things for Cam Brown, he was fourth on tackles, 6.5 tackles for a loss, 2 sacks, six pass breakups, 3 forced fumbles. And that's when he was just starting to figure it out. You know what I mean? Like those kind of things could go up and up and up. I think his tackle number might go up a little bit. If Michael wants to lead this team in tackles, I think he's going to have his work cut out for him. But find a better – there isn't a better trio of linebackers in the Big Ten.
And ideally, as they continue to get better and they continue to get deeper, Micah's numbers should go down.
They should. That's what
you
I mean.
You don't want the days of guys in the 100 tackle range. You really don't. It's indicative of them being on the field too long in a lot of instances. I mean, if Micah tracks at 70 tackles, he's got 8 to 10 tackles for loss, a couple of interceptions. I mean, that to me is a great year. And if Penn State's going to be good, you might want him on the field a little bit less.
I don't think we're going to measure Micah Parsons and Cam Brown based on number of tackles. I think it's going to be on number of disruptive plays. Are they going to get to the quarterback? Are there going to be tackles for loss? Are there going to be deflected passes or hurries that cause interceptions?
I disagree.
Woo!
I disagree.
Well, you're going to be wrong then.
I disagree. I think the most productive players need to be – the defense is going to be set up for these guys to be productive tacklers as well. If they're not productive tacklers, but they're making – making splash plays, I'm not so sure that's a good scenario. I think it's the production of the tackling and the consistency of teams struggling to move the ball against them, and because they're everywhere, that's going to lead to the splash – And the bigger impacts, the tackles for a loss, sacks. It's going to open up avenues for them. I just think if they are productive, and last year the trio was extremely productive, I think, let alone, I'll get to the run defense in a minute, but they were within 20 tackles of each other. So I think they were all three fairly productive. And if they're not as productive, but their numbers are close and consistent, that's what's going to strike
They had
me.
Too many tackles up the field, Andy. And it's a split decision. I'm gonna go with Jim on this one. They need to be more disruptive. And if you look at Micah's tackles for loss compared to the tackles that he had, if you look at all of them,
right?
They just need to be. It's one of the reasons why the run game they struggled a little bit to stop the run. They couldn't get off the field because when it was third and two, the other guy was getting 3 yards. I just think that I think the next step for Penn State is for the defensive tackles to get some push, but also hand in hand with that, I would like to see the linebackers, specifically the outside linebackers, make more plays in the other guy's backfield.
And speaking of which, stopping the run, I think third game when they play Pitt. Pitt's entire game plan is going to be stay on the field, get first downs, rushing the ball. That is their only chance to beat this team. So we're going to see that tested.
The next level for this linebacking core as a group, these three guys, is to be more productive within 3 yards of the line of scrimmage. Right? Bob's right. Making a tackle 5 and 6 yards downfield is not productive. So it's in that 3 yards either side of the line of scrimmage, especially on their side of the line of scrimmage after, the ball crosses the where it was snapped from. In that first 3 yards, if they're more productive there, just look the heck out, Big Ten teams, because that could be something very impactful.
Okay. You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. This segment's brought to you by GoPSURV.com. For the ultimate RV experience, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 800-519-8467. I know earlier, Andy, you alluded to the freshmen. Let's hold off on them for a second. Let's go to some of the returning players who might be playing. How about Ellis Brooks, Jesse Luceda? Where do they fit in? Andy, let's start with you.
Yeah, I think, does it feel like with Brandon Smith here that the path to play is harder for Jesse Luceda? But I don't think the defense is going to have a choice but to play him because he's gotten that much better.
I think that the coaches are confident enough in Brooks and Luceda that they're top six linebackers for sure. I think the more fascinating thing the coaches have to think about is where do they want to play Brandon Smith, because he can play outside. He definitely can. They have to worry a little bit about Dixon.
Let me get this straight. So when I said let's talk about the returning players before the freshmen, answered with the freshmen.
Well, no, I talked about Luceda and Brooks as top six linebackers, but when you talk about the most talented linebackers on the roster, they're pretty far down on the list.
They are.
I mean, the future is coming, and it's coming sooner rather than later.
All right, okay.
I think by late September, early October, it's going to be really hard. They're going to have to find some roles, I think, for these young Penn State players. I think Jesse Luceda is a solid player, and I think 2 years ago we'd be talking about him as a definite contender for a starting job. Same with Ellis Brooks, but times have changed. I think they're going to be They're going to be important players for Penn State to provide depth. I think they will play on defense. I think they have a role on special teams, absolutely. But I think they're looking over their shoulder already. And if they aren't, maybe they should be.
Well, okay, let's do it. Let's talk about these freshmen. Obviously, we've already been talking about Brandon Smith. Does Lance Dixon fit in there also? Andy, you're chomping at the bit. Go ahead. Do you got some numbers for us?
So I agree with Bob wholeheartedly. I do not have any numbers for you. I like Ellis Brooks, right? I think the way he's developed and when he was on the field last year.
I like him too.
I'm like, you know what? I like this guy.
Yeah.
The kind of sad flip side is to it is Brandon Smith and Lance Dixon.
They brought in the top linebacker recruit in the country. I mean, I like him too, but I mean, it's
going to be hard for him to win.
It's natural selection at some point. It just is.
Bob, I know you're a huge fan of Brandon Smith. Yeah. I know you went down, visited him.
Visited with him. I just can't get over how I didn't think he's grown up physically. I didn't think he would grow up this quickly because he was a little bit – he had the baby face, and I looked at his frame, and I was like, man, in the Big Ten, I don't know if this guy's even 230 pounds. Well, I saw him I don't know where I saw him, or Joe Hermer took a picture of him, and he doesn't look like the same guy I saw in December.
James Franklin said he's a man.
Yeah.
So where does he fit in?
I think that's the – I think Brett Pry is very, very – cautious with his linebackers. He wants to train. He's not gonna take Brandon Smith, and he's gonna find a role for him in year one. He's gonna teach him techniques and fundamentals. I don't know where that role is right now, but I don't look for him to try and do too much with Brandon and Dixon in year one. They didn't do it with Micah. My best guess would be they would probably look at him outside because they do like Ellis and they do like Lucada. So the question is, if that's the case, what do you do with maybe Dixon as a seventh linebacker in a top six? Did you just play him on special teams and wait for an injury? I don't know what you do.
I think Brandon Smith sees the field quicker, and I agree with you on the outside, because I think at its core, Jesse Lucada is going to back up, is going to be behind Jan Johnson in the middle if they have to go there. I think he carves out a little bit of a hybrid role for Brandon Smith. I think Lance Dixon is the stronger candidate for four games in a red shirt and some special teams, because Cam Brown's leaving, Micah's not, and that hole's going to be wide open. There's Lance Dixon needs to become a pure outside linebacker and learn that position, because he's going to be in the spotlight going forward. And if something happens to Cam Brown, it might be forced.
Is Brandon Smith inside or outside?
Outside. I think he's outside.
Outside to and start.
Yeah. He can play anywhere, though.
You were talking about his size. He's listed at 240. Lance Dixon is listed at only 213.
Definitely outside.
So that's part of it. All right. That is it for quarter number two. Next quarter, it's going to be Ask Bob and Andy. Stick with us.
Keystone Kickoff from KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.